Good to be back again. It's getting to be a habit every year, it seems. However, I will say this. It just seemed to get a little longer and a little longer every year. Years ago, my uncle had been up on the Yukon, and when we were getting ready to go, he said, "Dave," he said, "you'll find Alaska's for the young and the strong." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You'll see." He was right. And we're wondering how much we're going to endure yet. But it's been great to be up there. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Your pastor mentioned it's a privilege to have part of missions. It's just a privilege to be a Christian. I mean, to trust Jesus Christ, to be His child, and how He includes us all in His program is so amazing. But what a privilege we have. He is so good. I thank you, folks. Ever since Sister Karis was up there, the church that took us on, we wanted her to stay. You should have stayed there and made your husband come up. And I mean, I don't mean this summer. I mean years ago. She was a blessing, a tremendous blessing. When she was still single at that time. But shortly after that, though, you folks took us on. And we do appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate the financial assistance. We appreciate the encouragement that we've had from time to time. You folks have been a blessing, real blessing. And it's good to be back again. Good to see you. And wow. I asked your pastor, I said, "What do you want to preach?" He said, "Preach." He said, "Psalm 37. Mentioned that a couple times. I told him, I said, "Well, I'm not sure how it's going to come out yet. That can be preached a lot of ways. But for missions," I thought, "how would this apply to missions?" And Psalm 37, applied to missions, is this. As far as the churches back home that are sending the missionaries out, you've got to live in order to be able to do that. Psalm 37 tells us how to go through things that we're going to run into here and that we may stick around for a while. Simple instructions, but carrying them out is not as simple sometimes. Or we can just be very simple and trust the Lord and go on. It's amazing. The things of God are surprisingly simple, yet we make them complicated when we don't just simply trust the Lord. Boy, it was good to have you fellas up there last summer. These fellas come up. Brother War, he's going to be with you here pretty soon. That's right. I talked with him. And he's going to. I'll leave that alone. Let him tell you all about all the things there. But I'll say this: these fellas were a blessing. They came up, just made that camp. It was fantastic. It was a real blessing. Brother Warren said it exceeded all his expectations. And anyway, I'm not going to take things from what he'll have to tell you later, though. But you fellas just keep on coming. Now, Sister Karis, you're expecting. You could have a child who is an Alaskan. You folks are going to need a pastor, though, if that happens. Let the Lord lead, though, the Lord guide. It's been good to serve the Lord. It's been fun. There's been a lot of difficult times, seemingly difficult, and that sort of thing. That's typical of life. Yet, it's not nearly difficult as what we consider others who don't know the Lord. I have found the Lord so good. It's basically this. We want to find other folks who want to know the Lord. And if they know the Lord, then they can know what we experience. And on top of that, they'll have eternal life and all the blessings that are yet to come. And lots of things coming up. Well, listen, I know we can't get through this, but I'm going to try to hit the highlights. It's fairly simple. And I think this, I think the way things are going in the world is indicative of things worse to come. Everywhere you look, everyone's given a bad report. Everyone's given a sob story about whether it's the water, whether it's too many people, whether it's one nation against another, whether it's, it doesn't matter what it is, they've all got a sob story, something's going to happen. And of course we see the escalation military-wise and so on again, and all the One World Program and all those things. There's lots and lots of things to deal with there. As a result, though, I believe we're going to have much more serious days ahead. And this psalm will show you how to get through those times. Let's turn to Psalm 37. It pretty well will preach itself. The first few verses deal with what to do and what not to do. And then it expands on that and gives some explanation for it. And then it goes on farther and gives more explanation dealing with these particular things. It's not greatly complicated. You ever read instructions and they tell you what to do, but they don't tell you what's going to happen afterwards? But all of our actions have consequences, rewards, or loss of rewards, or serious problems. What we do is an amazing thing. That's what the Lord wants us. He wants us to do, but He tells us what we should do. He doesn't always explain it, though. In here, He tells us, and then He gives us some explanation. Okay, in verse 1, He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Now, there's two things that God gives. He gives, in the first verse, to do, and then you see some things He tells us, or not to do, and then some things to do. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we get into this. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercies. You've been so very, very good to us. And we thank You for Your Word and the instructions You give us. And we pray You'd just anoint Your Word, open our hearts, help us to understand if we do not. Give us joy in serving You. Help us just simply to believe You and trust You and wait upon You and rest in You. And Lord, guide and work in us, we pray, and bring honor to Yourself. Guide in all the various things. You know this world that needs You. You know those who are saved. We're glad for that. And Lord, yet there's so many more who don't know You. Help us, we pray, to reach them. Whether our neighbors, whether those next door, whether those down the street, whether those across the world, you know all the situations. Guide us, we pray. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to forget the things of this world and to go on and do those things that will last forever. Bless abundantly, we pray, and we thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Okay, two things not to do. Fret. You all know what fretting is. Anyone fret here? Well, you find different meanings on threat, but this one in particular is fretting, which will lead you to be angry about something. You see what somebody's doing, and then if that dwells in you for a while, you want to take some wrath out and answer the problem yourself. And that's where you can get in trouble. And then the other thing, this is don't fret because of the evildoers. Every direction we look today, you can see evildoers. I mean, they're everywhere. We have had a round of politics that is absolutely amazing the last few years. Not that it's anything new. We don't know what agencies we can believe. We don't know what individuals we can believe. We don't know who will give us of the organized system, things that are constitutional. In our own system, the thing is a shambles, it seems. Fortunately, there's still some folks who are halfway decent people. But there's a lot of people in leadership positions who follow the things of the world and follow the things of the evolutionary educational philosophy. And that's what we see working out. In all those places, they can get away with whatever they can get away with, survival of the fittest, and it's just a natural progression of things. Without God, you can't do anything constructive, really, if you're trying to be ambitious and do something that you think you can get ahead in the world. You're prone to be an evildoer, breaking the rules, taking shortcuts. And then, of course, you see the scammers of all different nature. You see the thieves of all different nature. You see, I mean, there's no end to it. These folks we have to watch out for. You see these that are modifying the genetics in the foods. They're modifying the genetics in people. They want to make some cyborgs. That, anyone want to be a cyborg? It's amazing. What was the first thing that Satan tempted Grandma Eve with? Like God. Wow! Wouldn't you like to have superpowers? This is what the program is for right now. Whether it's a computer chip, stick it in the brain, plug it in, recharge it, reprogram it, make you a super warrior, give you the bionic man thing where you got springs and catches and cogs and secret weapons built in. All kinds of the kids, what are they? They're programming the kids with all these magic rings and all this superpower. They're tempting us the same thing. They want us to want to be gods. I mean, it's on the media everywhere. It's in the books. It's in the films. Anyone that's got a little tube that you hold in your hand. It's amazing. It's everywhere. The temptation's the same, to be something super above everybody else, so that you can have power and whatever you can do. Now, these are what we're told not to fret about these people who are attempting to be, whether it's rich, whether it's have power, whatever it may be, but they're doing wicked things in order to get there. Don't fret about them. Don't get angry to the place where you're going to take out whatever you want to take out or get back at them or whatever and do it. That is improper before God. Now, how come we don't take our own vengeance? It belongs to God. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. That's His. And sometimes He may use us in that, but usually He doesn't. Usually we just kind of, He works things out, we get along and miss all those serious problem things. Now, not that we're going to be without some troubles, but He says, don't fret, because the fretting will lead to trouble. And then the other thing, you see these workers of iniquity, and so often these workers of iniquity, they got more money than they know what to do with, because they have taken it wrongfully somewhere. I mean, they make a trade-off with somebody. Unfortunately, we get leaders right now is who we look at mostly. We get too many leaders who are willing to make a trade-off. You vote for me and I'll get this program in place. You vote for me, what program do you want? You folks across the ocean, give me some money. We'll make some contracts and work some things out for your business deals, whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on, and they're continually coming to light. Some are true, some are not true. There's so many rumors, we don't know what, on so much of it. The thing is, though, watching those people will one of two things. It'll make you mad, or you'll wish you had the dollars they got. And that's what you see here, the second part. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Say, well, I'm going to join with them. Watch out. Those are the two big problems that we have. One is taking vengeance ourselves so we can straighten everything out according to what we think. And the other is joining with him so we've got the luxuries of life that we want that they are getting with their wicked dealings. Okay? Why? Verse 2. For they shall... If you bring your Bible out, this thing will just preach to you one steps right after the next. The whole thing. They shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. That's the end of the wicked. Now you see this explained farther in the scriptures, but then it tells us what to do. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and There's a compound thing here. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You say, huh? You know, if you trust in the Lord, it's amazing what He'll supply. In fact, He'll put you in situations so that you will trust in Him because He wants you to have confidence in Him. He knows how to supply. Now, He may not supply everything you think He ought to, but He'll supply what you need. He'll supply what He wants you to do. He'll supply according to what He wants you to accomplish. And then He'll test you through the thing to see whether you'll do what you need to do with it or what. It's amazing. I mean, the Lord is, He is an amazing parent. That's kind of bringing Him down on the scale. Parents should be amazing gods. It should be that way. But He is amazing God. He cares for us. He loves us. He'll give us comfort when needed. He'll give us supply when we need it. He'll feed us when we need it. He'll give us all kinds of things. But He says, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, what are we to be content with? What does the Scripture tell us? With food and raiment. Be content with food and raiment. Now, through all this, He doesn't promise we're going to have all kinds of stuff here, but He does promise that we'll stick around. He does make the promise for the ungodly that they'll be cut off. Now, these things don't just last for us. These things last also for our children because of what we do now. Of course, they can break it. But the blessings don't just stop with us. And they aren't all temporary. There's eternal things with this. But there is a lot of temporary things. And we are now in this temporary life when we need to do some things before the eternal. We've been given a job. We'll be here for a while. And then we're going home. Amen. Folks say, how you doing, Brother Dave? I said, well, better than yesterday. Oh, what? I said, yeah, we're one day closer home. It's getting closer. It's getting better. So trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Got something to eat. Delight. You can go beyond trusting in the Lord. Now, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you delight in the Lord? The Lord has a program. This book is a marvelous. It tells you from the beginning to the end of this thing of His whole program while we're here. It's all there. It tells where in the beginning God, and then you see the history of the world. You see the things of, we don't have time to go through all those things. He gives you the history of the world, and then He gives you the future history that's yet to come. And then after that, we have eternal life. I mean, eternity for, wow, I don't know what all. Read Ephesians chapter 1 and you'll see. I mean, it's hard to lose this that the Lord sets out in front of us. But we've got to survive through this period of time where we are. This is a very simple solution. Trust the Lord. Do good, and then delight thyself in the Lord, and He's going to give you the desires of your heart. If He gives you the desires of your heart when you're delighting in the Lord, probably it's going to be things when you're delighting about God. You see His program. You see how He works, how He can work, what He desires to work. You see these things, and pretty soon it catches on. That is, if we can get away from the flea market long enough to... to enjoy the things of the Lord. I mean, things that really matter. It's amazing how the things of this world grab a hold of our thoughts, our hearts, our minds. All the propaganda that goes out, all the things that keeping up with the Joneses, all the things of having something that just builds my pride and makes me feel good and all that sort of thing. You can get past that. That's kind of hard to do. I find myself getting in the way all the time. You say, preacher, after all these years, listen, I am still in a sinful body. And I'm looking forward to having one with no sin. But while I'm here, I've got to fight me as well as the world, let alone the demonic things that are included. But delight in the Lord. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. And then commit. You say, how in the world do we do these things? Lord, I wanted to go do this. I really wanted to do that. And I think it would be good. I think you would approve of whatever the case might be. But Lord, how can I get there? Say, I don't have the money to go there. I don't have the ability to go there. I don't have this to go there. I don't have what I need to get there. So what do? It's that word right there. Verse 1. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Simple. I can't do it. Lord, help. I'm trusting You. Will You work this out? Okay. I commit it to You, Lord. You work it out. You know all the intricacies of these things. I'm just going to watch and see how You do it. Commit Your way. We have all these programmers that give you the idea of how you can plan your life out and be a success. This says, give your way to the Lord. Commit it to Him. And He'll bring it to pass. It's a lot different. Have any of you ever just beat your head against the wall trying to get something accomplished? I mean, you work and you labor and you plan and you do everything under the sun, and you just can't get off of first base. Okay? And then at the same time, you can say, well, Lord, I have done everything I can. Will You please help me? And then what does He do? Amen. He knows how to bring it to pass. So we commit our ways to the Lord, and we trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's the promise. And He shall bring forth. Now notice this. Here's a real key thing. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us to let our works be shown before others that they will glorify God. That doesn't mean go on the street corner, do all your prayers and all that kind of stuff. No, do your regular works. People are going to see you. It's before others. The Lord, they will see what you're doing. They say, wow, He must have something I don't have. She's got something. I just don't know how she does it, but I'd like to know what it is. And they find out the Lord's working in the situation, working in your heart and so on. They want to know the Lord. Now look here. He shall bring it to pass, verse 6. And then thy righteousness as the light. It's righteous to trust the Lord, to wait on the Lord, to delight in the Lord, to commit your way to the Lord. He's going to bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. It's going to be plainly seen all over. I mean, that's what light is for. If we wanted to not see in here, we'd turn all the lights off and grope around and try to find our way wherever we need to go. With the lights on, we can see it. We don't have to get out there in order to see what's out there. I don't have to look down here and see who's in the front row or not. The thing is, what you do is going to be seen by others around you. And thy judgment as the noonday. They are going to see what God's working in your life. And they're going to glorify God. That is, if they have any nature toward that. Otherwise, they might say, you see, the wicked, he'll plot against you and try to get from you what God gave to you. That's different. But we'll see that. Now, here we go on, though. But don't be afraid for your deeds to be known. Now, don't go out of your way to show off being the religious or being spiritual or whatever the case might be. Those things will work natural. God knows. A lot of things where we think we're utter failures, God does something in there and gets some glory out of it. It's amazing. Other things we think, well, we just really sung that song good, or we just really preached that sermon good, or we really did that job, whatever it is, good. We find out it just fell flat. I think of one meeting, and in this particular case, they had. Now, I appreciate a good singer. I love music. I love good Christian music, and I think of this one individual. He was well trained. I mean, he had a good voice. He could really sing. He was way above the normal, both from his efforts and so on. Everything was just impeccable about his singing. And they were having quite a meeting, and they just didn't seem to go anywhere. And the preacher was there. He was a visiting preacher, and there were some visitors walking, a couple ladies he knew, and he said, it's good to see sister so-and-so and so-and-so here. Would you ladies just sing us a song before I preach? He said, you don't need to come up here. Just sing right out there. And they began to sing, and God began to move. And the whole place, I mean, God's blessing was on the inferior, way above the professional. You say, how is that? I don't know how God does those things. He knows how, though. It's kind of listening to Lester Roloff years ago. You know, he didn't have the greatest voice, but there was something of a blessing about his voice. He's saying, when I was going to Bible school, I'd listen to him on the radio and Oliver Green. Oh, I preach? Wow. Amen. That's a few years ago, so you young folks don't know who I'm talking about, probably. But it's amazing. God can take what we consider very insignificant and turn it into a real blessing. Amen. If the Lord will use us, it's not according to our talents necessarily. Now, if He wants you to be talented, and I think He does work with different people with their abilities and talents, lots of times you prepare folks that way and get some tremendously good things done. Now, what I think is really, really good is when God is in the thing and there is excellence in what is done. I like that. I mean, there's just something about it. Just if it's in the music or whatever, you just want to, yeah, it's great, woo. And maybe I'm just affected by it. Anyway, though, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret. Now, here we go again. See there in verse 7, we rest in the Lord in the things. We wait patiently for Him because He doesn't always do it the next day. I've seen prayers answered on the split second. And I've seen those that took years before He worked the thing out. Amen. It's in His time. Now, wait patiently. Wait patiently now. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. See, we're back here again. He's starting to run through the thing again. Fret about the fella. In verse 8, that fretting, that cease from anger, you know, it leads to the anger. Cease from that. Because anger gets you trouble after a while. This is why we, especially among the brethren and so on, we are forgiving, because if we don't forgive, it leaves a snare, sets up things for a snare for the devil to whisper in your ears or in your heart what you can do to get even. And then you got your war starts. I mean, whether it be between the husband and wife, whether it be between the kids on the block, whether it be between the brethren on this side of the auditorium and this side of the auditorium and those that want whatever. Forgiveness is very important. It makes things work right. Because it takes away that ability for the devil to use that thing as the snare. But see, he can use the snare of being angry against the ungodly in your heart just as well. That's why you don't want to dwell on that anger. But you say, what do you do with it? Turn it over to the Lord. Amen. Turn it over. Now, you may find some exceptions there, but they would be very few. But he says here, cease from the anger and forsake wrath. In this context, it's dealing with the wicked. And what you see says, fret not thyself in any wise to do what? He's talking to the godly person here. Get rid of that anger. Don't fret. Forsake the wrath. The wrath is when you pour that anger out and get them. You know, watch out. Fret not thyself in any wise. Now, to do evil. As someone says, have you folks ever felt like eliminating somebody? Now, at least you men would know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you ladies ever get to that degree. We probably have a few women in prison for murder or something of that nature. But I know men have a natural wanting to settle a score. Anyone like that? I know what that's like. Boy, I used to think, wow, I'd just like to wring their neck. I'd just like to put a stop to that over there. Be careful, because it sets up, you're setting yourself up, and that'll be your snare. The devil will get you into evil. It says right there. I mean, you murder that fella. That's not good. That's evil. You may say, well, I won't murder him. I'm just going to burn his house down. Well, that's not too kosher either. It's evil. That, you say, well, how come? Look at here. He said, for evildoers shall be cut off. Verse 9. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall stick around a while. They shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. God knows how to deal with those things. Say, but I sure want to deal with that myself. Okay, be careful. Notice verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of. You follow God's instruction, you're going to have peace. It's just as simple let's take a real easy step there. Are you troubled about some things? You take it to the Lord and leave it with the Lord. What do you have? You have peace. You don't need to go see the shrink. You don't need the counselor. You've got the Lord there. You've given it to Him. And you've got peace. Amen. How many times? Well, that's the easy end of it. And here's the same thing, though. You follow the Lord in this and don't take vengeance on that fellow. That doesn't mean that society shouldn't punish him or whatever. You see rules through the Old Testament for dealing with wicked doers. But it's not necessarily our job to deal with them. But anyway, I'll let your pastor clear all that up. But the thing is, let God deal with the things, and you will have peace. And peace is one of the key things that this world seeks after and does not have. You look at these people that would be envious of, or we would fret about. We look at those folks, and hardly any of those people, if any of them, have any real peace. They don't have it. And they continue to go on and go on and go on and go on. And every step they take in all their wickedness, it does not bring them peace. But we can have peace because the Lord will take care of those things and we rest in Him. It's simple, but obedience to the Lord in the thing is something else. Come a little farther. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 12, and the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth up against him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth the day, his day is coming. Who gets the last laugh? All right. The wicked have drawn out the sword. They've bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. That conversation, not just those that talk well, but this conversation, this old good old Bible word, is one that deals with your not only speaking, but your doing, your conduct, your manner of life. Our modern English leaves out lots of good old things in the words of yesteryear. The conversation is one of those words. You mentioned that today. Folks say, oh, you're just talking. No, it's not just talk. It's the doing that follows the talk. It's your manner of life in these things. But to slay such as be of upright conversation, you see, generally, people who do what's right and good will prosper. I mean, you ladies make a dress, you sell it to the neighbor, you made half your money back again, or three-fourths of it, or 10 times it, whatever, depending on what you do. You work on something and make something, and there's a reward for it. So usually the people who are willing to work instead of swindle the other party have something that they can be swindled out of. They've got some possessions. That's usually the way life works. I mean, a person is doing right, he's going to build a house. He's going to cut some trees that need to be cut, and he's going to pave some highway. He's going to do a job that he's got to do. Whatever, he'd do it right, he'd carry on. And these are the kind of people that the wicked are preying on all the time. And they have so many devices. And any of you ever run into scammers on your phone? How many times a day? Scammers all over the place. Or have somebody rob your account through the electronic system? That's amazing. But you've got something that they can take. That's usually a product of some honest labor. Righteous work that way. The unrighteous, they want to take it. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Say, well, how does that work? God knows how to do it. I didn't take vengeance. You didn't take vengeance. God took vengeance. The sword that they were going to chop you with entered into their own heart. I mean, the thing backfired on them. And a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, in America, that doesn't fly very high. This is the land of opportunity. We've got everybody in the world wants to come here because we've got such great opportunity to spend in our great-grandchildren's inheritance, you know, or what they're going to earn, maybe. Yeah, we're wealthy because these kids that aren't even born yet are going to pay for it. Because we've got some wicked people that are running things wrong. Well, the Lord says, just wait on the Lord. Trust the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. Give these things to the Lord. He knows how to remove the wicked. Yeah, but I'd sure like to get my lick in. After all, this is the home of the free and the brave, and I'm brave. Let's get them. There might be a time, but God's way here, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You say, well, what good is that? Well, if you're a righteous person, anybody here that's hungry? You got a little bit? Any satisfaction with a little bit? Is your hunger satisfied? Mine has been satisfied. I know one thing. Austin's a place where it's hard not to eat. But I have found that out there in the middle of nowhere, there's stuff to eat also. The Lord says He's going to feed me. We already saw that. And my time is, I've just gotten a start on it. All the results that are coming up on this thing. And everyone's going to go to sleep and go home and the lights will be shut off and I'll just sit here still going with this thing, I'm afraid. I think we could give examples. If folks in the congregation give examples how God has taken care of you. And I could sit here all night and tell you how the Lord has taken care of us on the field. We've been there. We found it with money, there's supply. Without money, there's supply. It's absolutely amazing. God is not short that He cannot supply you something to eat. Amen. He talks about famine and adversity and so on. And He said, He'll take care of you. We've got a win-win thing if we'll listen to the Lord. And these are the things that will get us through. With all the things that it looks like they're going to be bringing upon this world, we're going to really have to pay attention to what God gives us here. Now, you can read the rest of these things. One of the key things, though, is that you will continue until God's through with you here. And your children, the psalmist here says he was young and now he's old, and yet he's never seen the children of the righteous begging bread. And it talks about the inheritance going on. It's passed to the children. And the children, if you've raised them, try anyway. If they follow what you give them to do, now it doesn't always happen. I understand that. But usually they'll follow what we give them to do. They'll follow what they've seen us do. They follow what they've seen God work in our lives. And it will continue, and there's a multiplication that God gives here. The wicked are cut off, the righteous continue. And then we have eternal life, and we see that the salvation here in verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. We don't work our way to heaven. He's our salvation. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. And we've left out multitudes of things in these verses in between. Listen, we have a win-win situation. You can't lose following the Lord. It's just that simple. And if missions are going to continue while we're here, just live for God. It will work out. And you can continue. You can send your children. You can go yourself. You can send some dollars. You can pray about the missionaries. There's all kinds of things we can do to get the gospel out. Amen. And we'll go home and woo! We'll go shout and woo! Yeah, amen. Praise God. We'll see what He's done. Yeah. Don't fret and don't envy the wicked. Trust the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Be patient in the Lord. He's going to bring the things to pass. He'll take care of us. He'll bless us. He'll bless our children. Listen, this is the whole world wants us to have nothing to follow us except a pile of money that the IRS can get a hold of. God wants to bless us with children that will continue. So we're not going to leave anything behind except our children and those that we have influenced in helping in the things of the Lord. There's nothing left. The sailboat's not going to... Listen, I'm not going to need that sailboat one of these days. I'm going home. Amen. That's our hope. God's been so good. I'd love to give you testimony and illustrations and things of over the years that God has done so much. He's blessed us and worked with us and supplied for us, and it's just amazing. I just encourage you. Continue with the Lord. Trust the Lord. Just keep on zealously looking to help others turn to the Lord. You got trouble coming, but the Lord's the answer to our trouble. And if you're not saved, listen, you can get in on this too. God will save your soul. You can be a child of the King just like the rest of us. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary to cleanse the sin out of your soul. To give you eternal life so you're righteous before Him. There's no condemnation if there's no sin. Oh, wow. I appreciate your patience. I would love to just go on. But I know that's not customary. Thanks for letting me come. Pray about us. Pray about the wife. We're getting old enough. We're starting to fall apart. I just left a piece of me at the hospital, and they gave me a patch back. We're going to have to go maybe get eyes fixed here pretty soon. Get some cataracts taken out. Fortunately, the Lord's worked it out so we can have a better quality of life so many times now than what our ancestors did. Yet, I just marvel at the Lord. We're going home one of these days. We'll forget about all this living forever on this earth. Pastor, thank you very much for letting me come.
Thank you, Brother Hoffmeister. It's an aspect of missions I've never considered before. You know, how can we give to missions if we cut our time short here? You know, and we need to keep serving the Lord and trusting.
Stick with me. He said there, it says, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, rest in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord. But he said, you know, you trust in the Lord, but he said you can delight in the Lord. You can go beyond trusting. You can start delighting. And that was good. I'm going to keep that one, Brother Hoffmeister. Thank you. Thank you for your service to the King. And may the Lord give you as many years as he wants us all to have. Amen. And so keep serving God. And know you will. Your encouragement to us and to many others just to keep serving God. And what a blessing. Good to see you tonight. And I hope to see you back here on Sunday as we have our other missionaries that will be with us. And we're looking forward to what God has in store for us here at Scenic Hills Baptist Church as we give ourselves to the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer as we finish up this evening. Father, we're thankful for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for Brother Hoffmeister and his wife, and thank you for their commitment to follow you. We pray that, Father, you'd keep him strong, and Lord, pray that you'd give him grace to continue serving as long as you'd have him to do so, Lord. Lord, thank you for his encouragement tonight, Lord, to not fret the evildoers, but to stay faithfully following you. And may God, we all do that. In Christ's name, amen.